Good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service. It may be a little cool in here right now, but trust me, it is warming. We've had a little bit of heat issues this morning, but I think we have things under control, and it should be warming up in here just fine. So, again, glad to have all of you here this morning. Welcome you. This is the last Sunday before we move into the season of Lent, and I know Leah's going to be having some announcements about that as we move into that. So it's Transfiguration Sunday. It's the reason the paramounts are white, and all of that is of extreme high interest, I'm sure, to all of you this morning. But as we move through the liturgical year, we move through the seasons of the church, and that helps us in our walk and in our faith to be able to know and develop ourselves in the various stages of the life and the ministry of Christ. We're going to begin this morning by singing our congregational chorus. I think it's number 347 this morning, Spirit Song. I invite you to reach for a hymnal this morning. You may remain seated as we sing 347, Spirit Song.
Welcome, church. It's good to worship with you this morning. We have some announcements in your bulletins. We have a lot of things happening because it's Lenten season, and that the year moves on, doesn't it? And it's already time for Lent. We've got Lenten services, the community Lenten services, and the one that will be held in our church is March 8th. But we have one this Wednesday, and that's Ash Wednesday at 7:30 here in our church, Ash Wednesday service. We have a lot of other things. We have meetings this week. The United Methodist Women meet this Tuesday. I have another midweek connection, 10 o'clock on Wednesday. And we're beginning a creative Lent. And if you have any questions about that, you can talk to me after church. It'll be a time that's scripture-based to share and create for an hour every week to just check in and be together, make something using scripture as our guide. If you're interested in a Sunday school class, we have the Women's Bible Study and a Fellowship Climbers class that meet after church. So there are options for continuing education. Are there any other announcements that aren't in the bulletin that we need to add or want to share? Angie.
I'll add something. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to get a mic. Sorry. Choir, we'll meet in the fellowship hall, so that way we don't have to worry about any sort of overlapping of us ending in the service, trying to begin. Also, can I borrow some, because I'm afraid I'm going to forget. I need the Palm Sunday and Easter music. I gave away my copies. I need to make copies because some of us don't have it at all. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Hi. I received a call in the office from Tri-C Elementary School, and I have these extra packets available, will be available in the office. They are looking for mentors for some third grade boys. They have a great need at this point in time. They're reaching out to the churches. It is like a 30 to 45 minute session with a designated child twice a month, and they need volunteers to be able to come up to the school and mentor them. There's a great need in our school for that at this moment in time, from what the counselors are telling me. At this point, it's boys. A lot of boys have been submitted to them. There may be some girls. I have not been told that, but I have the packets. They look like this. And if you're interested in it, you can call me. I can mail it to you, or you can stop by the office and pick them up. Thank you.
Any other announcements? All right. It's time for the lighting of the worship candles. For those worshiping at home, maybe you have a candle at your house and would like to light it at this time to celebrate the light of Christ there with you. Please join me in the call to worship. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" That is a question we all ask sometimes. Every day the world bombards us with so much information. How can we tell the truth from lies? Jesus says, "I am the truth." Please stand as you're able to sing our opening hymn 64, "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty," verses 1, 3, and 4.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
You may be seated. I invite us to, if you need to, reach for the little book that is the little black book that's in your front of your pew there in the holder, and turn to Bind Us Together. It's listed there in your hymnal, and let us sing together that chorus. We sing the whole thing. As we sing that chorus in a time when we are fracturing as a church, in a time when the cords of love do not seem to be enough to hold us together. And you know what happens every time that we are bound in love and those cords get broke? We are hurt by that. Sometimes we call that the breaking of our hearts. Our hearts break with that. You know, it's an interesting thing. Jesus in the Gospel of John spoke so extensively about the unity of those who were his followers and the power that we would have in the world in that. And yet we've struggled always to find that. So as we spend this time in prayer this morning, about your future, about my future, let's pray together for the binding of our hearts, not around all the things we believe, because those aren't the same, but the binding of our hearts about one thing we believe, and that is the love of God for you and for me. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, it's neat when we can find something, Lord, to agree on. That seems to be so seldom and so far apart in the world sometimes, God. And you tell us over and over again how precious we are to you, how much you love us. And we need to recognize, God, and do, that that just doesn't mean me. That means all of us here and all of us in this community and all of us in this state and all of us in this world, that we are all precious to you and that we are all loved by you. We pray, Lord, that we might feel that sense of community. Not that we will always agree with everyone or that everyone is always right, but that everyone is always valued and they are worth in your eyes and should be in ours. So, Lord, help us have that spirit of coming together, of binding together for the good of your kingdom and the good of your church and the good of all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. want to move into a time this morning when we share our joys and our concerns, our requests for prayers. So I invite those who might have something they'd like to share this morning, if you just raise a hand so someone can bring you a microphone. As they're doing that, I just want to mention this morning, I have a prayer concern that I want to kind of start us off with. We have some really good friends who lived at Murfreesboro and were a part of the Murfreesboro Church for a long time. Not too long ago, they moved to Alabama to be close to family down there. And Ron and Sally, and Ron is moving into hospice care with cancer. And it's a loss of a good friend when that happens. And we don't know exactly when that's going to be, but it probably won't be a lot longer. So you can remember Ron and Sally in your prayers this morning. We'd appreciate that. Are there others this morning?
I'll go. I want to just say it's a joy to see the changing in the choir. We are actually missing 4 people today, 5 if I count Louise. But we can still function. So that's very new from the past few months. And so really... I'm grateful for Elizabeth Collins joining us, a student and friend of Sam's, has been joining us, and so that's great. Jim Phillips joining us just this past Wednesday. It's been so lovely to have him there. And so, yeah, we are functioning. We are moving. So it's the thing to do now is to join the choir. So everybody's doing it.
That is wonderful, and we do celebrate that. What an answer to prayer. You know what? We prayed about that. And God has brought people to us in response to that. Yeah, I remember not very long ago, 4 or 5 people missing meant we didn't have a choir. Yeah, yeah. So thank you for sharing that. Others this morning.
Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody for the prayers and cards that I've been receiving. I finally was able to get some tests done. Unfortunately, they didn't come out the way I wanted them, and I'll have some procedures that'll have to be done. I don't know the timing on them yet, but thank you so much, and I hope that things will work out for me going forward, and so please keep praying for me.
All right. Thank you for sharing. Is there anyone? Yes. Rick?
If you would, please keep my wife, Ginny, in your prayer. She's home now with pneumonia. And my sister Sandy, who's had a stroke down in Florida. Please keep them in your prayers.
All right, thank you. Are there others? Right behind you.
I have a couple of concerns. I asked for prayer for Gatlin Turner last week, and they did not get the news that they wanted from St. Louis Barnes Children's. They have been referred on to Children's Hospital in Texas, in Houston. So that is a process ongoing right at the moment, trying to get everything organized and get him down there. Also, our son Derek took a major fall at work. The day after it rained so hard, fell through a decking that they were working on, and the deck was up about 10 feet high, and a board slipped, and he went down and busted his eye open on the joist, is that right? And ended up with 2 cracked ribs and bruised all on one side, and he is in good, he is bruised up, beat up, and in pain. So he's very lucky that he, you know, when he hit his head, that he didn't hit the back and hit where, you know, there's a lot of things that could have happened that didn't. So we're kind of glad that turned out the way it's turned out, other than he is just super duper sore, and we just ask for his healing prayer too. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to take a minute to thank the Boy Scouts for their service last Sunday and for the breakfast. It was absolutely wonderful. And I wanted to thank Art Mize for the great message last week, Art. And he was responsible. I'm sure many people in his congregation could not get What's Love Got to Do With It out of our brain that whole day. So thank you, Art.
All the way at the back, yes.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers and cards. It's good to be walking again.
It's good. Yes, good to have you here.
I have a request. Sharon's mother, which most all of you know, she ran the country cover for years, Dorothy Karavitis, and her only brother left living a life. She had six brothers, and it was her, and all of her. This is the last brother that's passed away. She's buried all of them. Just this morning on the way to church, she called and told us. She lives in Chicago. So keep her and Sharon in her prayers.
All right. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Are there any others? All right. Let's be in an attitude of prayer then. I'd like to invite you to be in prayer in your pew or come and join me at the altar. You know, and I thought about this week, and the reality is God doesn't hear your prayer any better whether you're at the altar or whether you're in the pew. And so feel completely comfortable to do that. For me, it focuses me to be at the altar. And so I like to come to the altar to pray. I invite you to come to the altar to pray if it helps or focuses you. But let's be in an attitude of prayer this morning. Lift up these joys and concerns and any others that we have. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, God. We're thankful to be here. We're thankful to be surrounded by the people who are here with us. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship you. And to be here, God, and just to open ourselves to whatever it is today you have to bring to us. God, we just celebrate that. Thank you for it. As we come here this morning, Lord, we celebrate the joys that have been shared about things that are going on in the lives of individuals and things that are going on in the life of this church. God, we just lift that up and we just say thank you again. And this morning as well, Lord, in the midst of the joys of our lives and the blessings we receive every day, we know, God, that there is also pain. We know of people, Lord, this morning who are suffering. They're suffering because they hurt physically. They suffer because loved ones suffer around them. They suffer, Lord, because life is hard at this moment for them. And so, God, we just lift them up to you and ask your blessing to be upon them. If they need your healing hand, God, would you lay it upon them and let them find that healing? If they need your comfort, God, would you surround them and hold them in the midst of your comfort and offer, Lord, the peace that the world cannot give, that only you can give? If they need direction or guidance, if they need strengthening, God, if they need courage, would you provide for them, Lord, what it is in this moment of their life's journey, Lord, that they need? We lift these things to you, God, because what we know more than anything else is that you love us, you value us, we're important and precious to you. And so, Lord, we don't lose a hair on our head that you don't take notice of. We don't shed a tear that you don't pause about. You are a great God, and we are overwhelmed to call upon you this morning, to find your presence here with us and among us. So, Lord, hear our prayers as we raise them to you this morning for these and other issues and concerns that are a part of our lives and our world. And hear our prayer this morning as we, your disciples, join together, praying together, the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn, My Hope Is Built, number 368, verses 1, 2, and 3. You may remain seated. I'd like to offer a prayer this morning for the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the gifts that you bring into our world and into our lives. And not just financial gifts, but the gift of time and money and relationships and talents and gifts and the sharing of those in the life of your church for the building of your kingdom. Would you bless those, Lord, who so generously share in so many ways their lives, their talents, their gifts with you and this church. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture reading, our first reading is from Ephesians 4:14 through 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. Our second reading is John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Time for our choir.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Hey, this is the last Sunday before we start the season of Lent, and we're wrapping up this morning this sermon series we've been on for a while, and I've just kind of been sharing what I've found is important verses of Scripture. And today we end on a number of Scriptures which talk about truth and the power of truth and the author of truth, which is God. Jesus says that very clearly in a couple of places in the Gospel, but he said it this morning in the 14th chapter. He says, I am the way, I am truth, I am life. A few nights ago, I was having trouble sleeping, and I don't know, it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and finally I got tired of rolling around, so I got up and turned the TV on for a while, and I ran across this documentary on World War II. And for a lot of you, you'd be like, well, that'll put you to sleep. Well, you know, I'm a history major from way, way back, so it was interesting to me. It was one of those documentaries where they took the original black and white footage and they'd made it color. I have no idea how they do that, but they had done that. And the episode I watched was an episode on the Holocaust. And you know, no matter how many times I see that footage, it is always shocking. No matter how many times I watch that, it's always unbelievable. And you ask the question of, how could that ever happen? How could people ever do that? How do people ever get to a place where that's okay and participate in that? You know, Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany in 1933 in kind of a landslide election. It was during the Depression. And Hitler had a long documented history of the hatred of Jews. But at the time he came to power, that wasn't true in Germany. There were a lot of Jews who lived in Germany and had been there for a very long time. And they were well entrenched in terms of lots of different aspects of social life. A lot of Germans, ethnic Germans, had Jewish friends. And so it wasn't something that was across the board. That population didn't despise Jews. And so Hitler had a problem. He was like, I want to get rid of this population. I want to annihilate this race. I want to treat this group and persecute and treat them harshly, but the population won't stand for that, so I need to do something. And so he hires this guy by the name of Joseph Goebbels. And Joseph's job was to be a propagandist, to share misinformation. He called it, in his own language, I am the big lie. And the big lie was that whatever's wrong in your world, whatever's wrong in your life, whatever you're afraid of, Jews are responsible for it. They're the ones who are causing what is bad in your world, in your life. And Joseph believed certain things about populations. One of them was he believed people really didn't care about the truth or facts very much. They really weren't all that interested in that. And because of that, if you could find out what they were afraid of, if you could find out what they were concerned about, if you could find out what their problems were, and if you could get them to blame someone for them, they would feel better about that. And all you had to do was say it often and long and loud and in a lot of different ways, and eventually people would accept it as truth, even though it was not true, even though it was not based on fact, even though it was a lie. It was the big lie. And over a period of time, out of persistently just saying it over and over and over again, that population began to believe the lie. And so it became okay to boycott Jewish shops and stores because they were the problem. It became okay to take their possessions that they had worked for and earned and bought, but to take them away from them because they were evil and they were the problem. It became okay to round them up and to put them in ghettos in unbelievable living conditions because they deserved it and they needed to be punished and they needed to be controlled and they needed to be contained. Until finally, not by all, but by many, final step became okay. That they could be killed in mass murders. And that was okay too. Because they believed a lie about the world in which they lived and who is responsible and who is to blame. You know, that kind of misinformation is still a part of our world and a part of our lives. It happens not in that scale and not with those kind of terrible, terrible consequences, although they are out there too. But it happens in our everyday lives. Ran across an article just recently about recycling. And recycling is really effective with paper and glass and metals. Those things recycle really well, and they turn into new materials, and we see those all of the time. What doesn't recycle is plastic. Plastic is almost completely non-recyclable. Did you know that when we recycle it, only 5 to 6% of it ever ends up in any kind of recyclable product? That most of, Teresa and I faithfully put our plastic in a recycle bin every week, and about 90% of it ends up in the landfill. I can tell by the, that you didn't know that. Well, I didn't either. I also didn't know that for years and years, we shipped vast amounts of it to China and to other places around Asia who took our plastic that we didn't want. And finally they said, you know, we've had all your used plastic we can use. Thank you very much. And so we put it in landfills. But why do we recycle it at all if we can't recycle it? Well, the reason is because for decades, the plastics industry has been telling you and me that, oh, plastic's recyclable. And every once in a while, they lift up a product and say, we can do this with it. How many of your homes are filled with products that are made by recycled plastic? Yeah, not very many, huh? It's because you can't do anything with it. And yet we think we can. And yet we have communities all over the United States who diligently recycle their plastic, believing that this is going to be turned into something really useful somewhere someday. I have no idea where or what it's going to be. I don't have any of it, but somebody surely has it, because we wouldn't go through all of this work and effort if it didn't turn into something. But it doesn't. And we believe that because of misinformation. We believe that, which is a really polite way of saying lying, because we've been lied to for years about it. And so, because we've been lied to for years, we just accept it as, okay, well, I guess it must be true. That's what they say all the time, over and over and over again. And so suddenly, in the world in which we live, truth becomes defined by those who have great resources. Because people who have great resources can tell the same story over and over and over and over and over again until they make it the truth. Doesn't matter whether it's factual or not. It just becomes the truth because we hear it over and over and over again. A common mistake that is a part of my life and a part of your lives is that too many times we decide what the truth is, and then we begin to find stuff to back it up. I believe this, and therefore I find resources or I gather support for that belief or that understanding. And at the same time, we ignore what doesn't support our belief or our understanding. Because you know what? When we believe something for a while, we get real attached to it. And to change that, well, it's just hard for us. It's hard for us to admit we were wrong. It's hard for us to accept something different. It kind of shakes up our world a little bit, and we don't like that. And so what we tend to do, all of us, is we tend to decide what's true, what's right, what's good, and then we support it. And we listen to those things which support it, and those things which do not support it, we ignore or discredit or embarrass or humiliate or in some other way just simply destroy in our world and in our lives. And so you begin to see today that not only in our world but even in our own lives sometimes finding truth isn't all that easy. It's not all that easy because we are naturally sometimes put away from it, especially truth we don't like and we don't want to hear. We have lots of ways of dealing with that and putting that away. Into our world and into our lives steps a God who looks at each and every one of us and says, I'm truth. I am truth. And the pursuit of truth is the pursuit of God. And the pursuit of God is the pursuit of truth. They are one and the same thing. God is more than that. But God is that. Jesus couldn't have said it any more clearly. I am the way, I am truth. And so it doesn't matter whether it's mathematical or scientific or whether it's sociological or wherever it is, whatever it is. If it has to do with our universe or our world or our hearts or our lives, what is true draws us to God, points us to God and a relationship with God. And every time we ignore that truth, we turn away from God to accept something that is lesser. Something that is different than the God who comes into our world and says, not only am I truth, but I'm love, and offers that relationship to each and every one of us. The scripture today says that we should tell the truth with love because it is so powerful. And sometimes it's hard, and we need to be careful with it. But in John, a little later, Jesus also says for his disciples that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth is a powerful thing in our world. Whether we like it or not, it is a powerful thing. And the more we open ourselves to it, the more honestly we live with ourselves and with one another. And truth is always a foundational block in the path of discipleship. The welcoming and embracing of what is true in our lives, what is true in our world, what is true in our hearts, what is true before us and before God. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we do live in a world, God, where we are constantly bombarded. Everybody talks about this and that and what's good and bad and what's right and wrong. And sometimes, Lord, we are so confused by all of it. In those moments, Lord, help us to turn to you and simply ask that you would show us the truth, reveal it to us. Help us to know it, help us to be it, help us to live it. That we might live our lives, Lord, in the center of your will and in the center of your ways. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we offer them to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 374, Standing on the Promises, verses 1 and 2, just verses 1 and 2. Of hymn number 374, I invite you to stand as you are able. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for bringing an anchor into our world, a foundational rock into our world, a rock of truth. May we go forth, Lord, from this place and live that, God, in our daily walk every day. Not just seeking you, but seeking your truth, applying it into our hearts and into our lives, and living that out into the world, that we may be your light and your yeast, that we may be a part of the world, but always a part of you. Bless us, Lord, as we go forth from this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week this week.